first time I saw Earth from space, in 2255, I experienced what astronauts called the overview effect, a cognitive shift. It's the act of seeing something so overwhelming, so connecting, that it initiates a change in self-concepts and values. It's striking. Hues of green and blue dancing about as if to show off to the entire galaxy. It's even more astounding to think about the fact that you're staring at over 7 billion people all at once. It also makes you realize how contained your whole world is. All of the people you love, admire, cherish, and even hate are all confined within this sphere that's charging around a fireball at almost 67,000 miles per hour. But I think, if anything, that knowledge enriches the human experience. However, my perspective may be skewed now. After all, there's nothing quite like seeing everything you've ever known be consumed by a cloud of foreboding gray. It's been 8 weeks. No one has called again. No one is home. I was on a spacewalk one day doing routine repairs on my station. I work on an individual observation post, so I'm the only one up here to do it. Sometimes you'll just stop and admire. It never gets old. It's a view exclusive to very few. Even someone scatterbrained like myself with a condition like mine would get trapped in the glow. This time, though, something was strange to me. I could have sworn I was over Japan at this time, but where it should have been was a dark cloud, unlike anything I had ever seen. And I've been out here for 5 expeditions in my life. I finished my repairs and sat on the observation deck in awe. It was then that I noticed this wasn't the only cloud. They were all over the planet. I tried to call home, but I didn't get an answer. I kept getting a tone that told me the lines were disconnected. I worried until I dozed off, floating there uselessly. When I woke up, I had 15 missed calls from my post. I was afraid to look outside. But sure enough, when I did, the entire world was covered in that dreadful gray. I slept through my only opportunity for closure. I didn't drop my pod back down. What good would that have done that soon? I don't know what's going on down there. So instead, I broke down. I blamed God, myself. I've screamed into that void for hours. The thing about crying in space is that it doesn't have anywhere to go. I've had a lot of time to cry. A lot of time to think. And a lot of time to regret a lot of things. Since that day, I have not received a single call. The clouds have not cleared, and I cannot contact Earth in any capacity. I have enough food for 3 more months, so there's a time limit I'm aware of. I've been alone, and all there has been to do is wonder. I have about 100 theories. Among them is the idea that every volcano on Earth had gone off at once. I decided on that after thinking about Japan being the first one I saw. It could have been Mount Fuji there. You would think that I'd have tried a little harder to figure it out. But maybe I've hyperfixated on painting "They're All Dead" on the wall already. I can't access any network or make any calls, so I know our base of operations is gone. Looking at the gray ball in front of me reveals nothing new because it just swirls the same all the way around. Something very problematic for me is that I have no more medication, and I've never really been very good at managing my attention without it. So I scatter myself. Even floating in the air, I twitch my feet when I think. I play with my fingers, meticulously popping each one. I click my tongue when I'm lost in my head. I get really anxious. There's this part of me that's always thought of myself as being below the average person because of the way I think. There have been days where I couldn't even listen to music in the car because the thoughts in my head were too busy for me to focus. I get overly passionate about the things I care about, and I feel dejected when I get shot down while I try to tell people about what I've fixated myself on. The irony, though, is that I might be the average person now. Beyond that, I found myself thinking about the people down there. I think about my dad a lot. We aren't really close. We butt heads a lot on things. I wanted to be creative, and he wanted me to be successful. Our ideas were very different about the definitions of those things. I should probably have messaged him more, but the way my brain works, I tend to get lost in my own processes. I'll talk to someone, and then we won't speak for 6 months, but when we talk again, I'm picking right back up where I left off as if nothing happened. I didn't know that wasn't normal for a long time, and now I regret that I didn't keep in contact as much as I should have. With more than just my dad. With all the people I care about. So, I think I say all of this to say that I'm going down. I still don't know what's down there. I could be crashing down to my death, but I saw another few pods drop from satellites, and if those are people, they are where my hope lies. So, whoever hears this, we are still here.
Launch sequence activated.
And we will try to survive.
Thank you for listening to Remembrance. It was written and sound designed by Landon Lemon Wisnant and performed by Maddie Gerard. I appreciate all of you for listening. And if you're a patron listening to this, thank you. Because through donating to the show, you are giving us access to resources that we did not have previously. And we really appreciate you. Have a nice day from Auditorium.